in Matthew 1, chapter 20, it tells us this about Jesus. All right? Now, Mary had come to meet Joseph to tell Joseph, Joseph had discovered Mary was pregnant. And Joseph, being a righteous man, he decided to put her away privately. But the Bible says, while he thought on these things, behold, an angel appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Thou son of David, fear not to take Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So telling word of knowledge. Then word of wisdom, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now I just want you to think about this. I mean, there's no man in this world, no man, at least that I've met, that you are engaged and the person you are going to get married to comes to meet you 3 months pregnant and tells you that, I said, so how did this happen? Said, the angel of the Lord. I mean, he will look at her and say, listen, I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. There is no angel of the Lord. Now, but I'm talking in terms of that. We are speaking now because no other virgin will conceive apart from one. Right? But we're not talking about that. We're trying to show the distance between our human calculation and God's agenda. Because without the gift of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in operation, there was no possible way Joseph would have found out that that thing was true. So there are some things that when you look at them, they tell you every sense in your being, this is wrong. It will have to take an operation of the Holy Ghost, the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, to indicate to you that that way that seems completely wrong. For there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, the end thereof is death. Therefore, if you flip that, the way that will end in life must seem wrong to the man. Because what seemed right entered death. What seems wrong? So it takes the Holy Spirit. And when we understand this, then we'll lean more on this. And understand that the same way people were given in marriage and going out, and the flood was coming, there are things that are about to happen that you have no clue if you are just going with natural intelligence and you completely miss out on God's program and God's agenda. So he took time and he was there and God showed him. Now chapter 2, we find this in Matthew, verse 12. The Bible says, I'm being warned of God in a dream that they should not return. So God warns through dreams. Verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take thy young child and his mother and flee. All right? This is God. Why didn't God say, I will protect you? He said, flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So God told him why in the dream. And then it goes on in verse 19. All right? But when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take thy young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. For of course, there were no news there. Nobody knew what was happening. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. So God appeared again, and here we have the word of knowledge being in operation. Then we go into the scripture, into the book of Acts, and we look at Acts and chapter 9 and verse 3. And this is what happened to Paul. It says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined about him a light from heaven. All right? And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's a hard thing for thee to kick against pricks. Pricks, there were some sharp instruments back then. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The Lord said to him, and this was a vision, because later on he told King Agrippa, he said, I will not be disobedient. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. This was like a trance, a vision. But even with a vision, it says, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou should do. And then when we got to verse 10, we saw something else. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus, Ananias. And he said unto him, the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. The Lord said, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight. So God gave him word of knowledge here. The name of the street is Straight Street. And inquire in the house of one of Judas. Gave him the name of the man whose house he should go to. One called Saul of Tarsus told him the man who he will call for. Behold, told him what he was doing, he prayed. And he had seen in a vision a man, Ananias, coming in, putting his hands on him that he might receive sight. We will see this. God will give a vision or a dream, give the names of the people, what they do, the address there, give them exact information. You say, why are we interested in this today? This is the reason. The church is sunk in praying about cares of this life. It is the same Holy Ghost. All right? But back then, they were praying and communing with God, and that allowed God to open up and tell them about the higher things, some of the most powerful things, avoid even Christ in their business things they were doing. All right, and go. But when we have come crammed the whole thing with what, all right, we want God to do for us, and we are not open, our spirits are not open, all right, Abraham, there was a time God was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, I can't do this without telling my friend, all right? But if our whole heart is filled with what our problem is, God, can't you help me? Then we will not be in a position to hear anything like this. Go to Acts 10, the next chapter. We'll see this, the next chapter here. And there was a certain man, verse 1, in Caesarea here called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. I mean, this is the next chapter. These things were happening. It says, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, and the second thing, prayed to God always. Now, this man could not have been praying about material needs. You can't be giving alms this much. Are you following what I'm saying? This wasn't a poor man. You understand this? Gave alms continuously and prayed. So what was he praying about? He was there communing with God. And he saw in a vision, so God could now communicate things to him that he wasn't even part of his own personal needs at that particular point in time. And I think I said this last week, all right, during midweek service, when we talk about our needs, it's God that knows your needs. And for you to think that, well, I know my needs, you don't know your needs. Because let me tell you, man has never known his real needs. How do we know this? And this is the kind of world God wants to take us to. Now, when people were riding horses and carts, did anybody say that you went to meet him, you did a survey to find out the needs? Will everybody filling the survey will have said, I need a car now? Nobody knew about a car. But God knew that, look, these guys need a faster way of transportation. When we all had our CDs or Walkman tapes, did anybody wake up and say, you know what? What's your need? Let's do a survey. We need iPods. We actually need iPods. In fact, when they came to meet you, they told you when you had tape, you could put 3,000 songs on. They said, get out of this place, useless chap. What do 3,000 on what? Look, I'm good with my Walkman. And then you put it on. It was when somebody else discovered your need and presented it to you that you knew you needed it. When we were going to the post office posting letters, did you know you needed the internet? No. If they ask you what was your need in a survey, is let the post office be cleaner, listen and be faster. We queue too much. That is what we are looking for. The post office just should be in front of us. Let's just have these things all drop in front of my house. If somebody came to meet you and said, you won't have to post letters, it will go electronically. You'll say, paper will go electronically. Tell me how. How? It will fly in the air to America. What do you mean electronically? No, you send it and just send it. And send what? How will we send it? All right? Which means that, listen, is when you give room to the Holy Spirit and go beyond your mundane needs, this and this, that it can break you into, are you following what I'm saying here? And take you into that world. So Cornelius here wasn't praying about the Holy Ghost. He didn't even know about the Holy Ghost. No Gentile had been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Even Peter did not know that the Gentiles could be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Nobody was open to that. But he was praying always. And God said, these things have come as a memorial. There's something, all right, as a memorial. And then he went back and came back. And he saw in a vision, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel coming to him, saying, I mean, that's why, you know, tell people when they say they want to do ministry and you are doing survey. I said, listen to me. There is nobody that you can do survey for. During the time of Noah, that in the survey, as they were getting married, said, what do you want God to help you with? They would say, an ark. Are you following me? An ark. Why? Because there's a flood coming next week. They didn't know. So he goes on here and says this. He said, evidently, ninth hour of the day, an angel coming, Cornelius, and was afraid, was he? He said, thy prayers and thy alms have come as a memorial. Now look at details. Send men to Joppa, the place, and call for one Simon, the name, and give him the son name, whose son name is Peter. He lodgeth, even told him who he's living with. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. How did they get accurate information like this? Praying in tongues. Praying in tongues without being choked by the cares of this life. And then he went on there, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So we have this kind of things, and then the Peter also in this same thing, all right? And Peter was there, and the Bible says that it tells us in verse 10, and Peter was there on top to look at it, verse 9. On the morrow when he went on their journey, they drew near, and Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour and became very hungry. He was praying, all right, and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So he had that. And then you see information coming again, telling him, rise, kill. All right, and explaining certain things to him. So with all this, you have the word of wisdom, you have the word of knowledge also coming through. All right? And this comes because you open yourself up to God in prayer. All right? So you are developing that part of your being. Right? Your spirit is getting developed. Your spirit is getting mature. I mean, because of time, I can't go on, but in Acts 16, there was a time where Paul wanted to go and preach in Asia. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost forbade him. It says that then the next verse says the Holy Spirit suffered him not. But by the time we get to Acts 19, this same Holy Spirit that suffered him not, by Acts 19, it says in the space of 2 years, the whole of Asia heard the word of God. In 16, you are not authorized to do it. In 19, it's spreading everywhere. But the written word says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But the Holy Ghost can tell you that is not applicable to you in this particular situation. Failure to do this can cost you something. So what happens is, the Holy Ghost, that's why, and it's the first thing I'm going to teach on at the minister's conference, is that, listen, you are planted by rivers of living water. This man, it doesn't depart out of his mouth. He meditates. That's the word of God. But then he's planted by the rivers. The rivers talk about the outpouring of the Spirit. For Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. In other words, meditation and you praying in tongues over that till you break through to that place of rivers. And let me tell you, as you pray, this information is unleveled. The Bible speaks about ankle deep. It talks about knee deep. It talks about waist. It talks about shoulder high, which means the manifestation of the Holy Ghost is unleveled. It's unleveled there. Now, let me close by saying this, because praying in the Spirit, as the Archbishop of Canterbury said once, I agree with this. He said, somebody said, all these your prayers look like coincidences to me. He said, the more I pray, the more coincidences I have. The less I pray, the less. And when you pray in the Holy Spirit and spend time in prayer, a lot happens. And I remember once when we just started church in Yaba, and now I never told, I don't think I've ever really told this story like that, because I didn't want to stop people from coming to church, because if they knew how dangerous that area was, some might not have come again to the service. Because gunshots, it's back then in Yaba, the whole place, you know. So one day, I remember I went with somebody, a chap then, and we were talking. He came to see me, so I let him out of my office at night. It was around 8 p.m. And I stood, we were talking outside, and suddenly the light went. All right? But I didn't know God was saving us. So we went back to put on the generator. Of course, when you put on generator, the sound of generator, we didn't know. By the time we came out, there was a shootout right in front of the place. In fact, there was a jeep. The man had taken off. They had shot somebody. So later on, we asked what happened. They said they were shooting down because there was some holdup. All right? Now, at the time when they were coming, God must have looked at it and said, hey, this bullet might hit my dude here. All right? NEPA. Mom! So we went right inside. All right? You understand what I'm saying? And that's how, when you stay in the place of prayer, you just open things and praying, God is able to help you. I mean, I heard something. This was on the internet. Very powerful story. And this was a gangster in jail. I just listened to this, all right? Yes, this morning. I was a gangster, and he's a, what they call gangman guy, all right? Gang dude. And he said a friend of his, this is how the man came to believe that there was God. While he was in jail, he had been going in and out of jail, but this time he went in, he was in for 5 years. And on the third year, I just finished the third year, when, you see, in gang, they call them OGs, which means the old guys who have done, the big guys who have done gangs. I know they're in prison, the big guys who started the gang. So he said some of those OGs saw somebody come into the prison who did them in when they were outside. So they called him as a younger guy, chap, now you go and help us kill that guy. And they gave him the equipment. All right, go and stab him. He said he looked and knew that the OGs were there for life. Even if they killed and they caught them, they already, what else are you going to do? You can double our life sentence. We only have one life. So go back, give us 480 years. It's the same life that he gave us. But he had just 2 more years to live, to stay. He said, that was the first time he prayed and asked God, God, help me out of this. You know I'm coming to you. I'm leaving this gang life. Help me out of this problem. He said after he finished all praying, of course, the OG said, all right, guy, go and kill. He said he picked up the equipment, hid it. And he heard on the loudspeaker, they called his name. Let's say his name was Jack Jill. Jack, Mr. Jack Jill, could you step forward, please? Ah, he said, these OGs have played me. They gave me the equipment. They now went to tell people. He said, I quickly hid it and went to meet them. And they said, well, the courts have just said for good behavior, you are free to go. You can go now. He said, he looked. I can go. He didn't go back there because now the way God took him out, he said, the way God took him out of it, of course, the OGs, even if they tell you to go, won't you go? So he's gone. He is on the outside. They are in there for life. They can never reach him. And said that. He said that's how he knew there was God. All right? Spending time in prayer will do things for you that it's only when you get to heaven you will know. Are you following what I'm saying here? So it's important. All right? Yes, you have things you pray about. But from time to time, all right, periodically just dedicate. If it's a Saturday, just tell yourself, listen. And some of you used to do this many years ago. All right? In fact, let me tell you this. I was telling somebody on the phone in England, after I preached it fourth service, because that's when it came strong to me, on the way to second service, he said, Pastor, he said, do you remember when we started church? That's how we used to, we would just come, we'd be praying. I said, we were not married then now. Oh, boy. You can't say this now. Nobody had, I said, did you anybody? Nobody had anything. We were just coming, we're like students. So we're just praying. Now, if we just tell people, at some point, we have fees to pay, school fees, all these things. How can we just be tonguing? He said, I get it. Oh, it's true, Pastor, it's true. We had no problem. There was no responsibility at that time. I said, so you understand this, that it's almost like it comes in and chokes the word of God. And even ministry finds it difficult to go into that realm. Because you go into that realm, you're almost telling people to build an ark when they are getting married. Do you understand what I'm saying? They say, what is it you are saying? What prophetic thing you are saying? We say we are married. Tell us the 6 steps to proper marriage. You are saying we should build an ark. Which ark for what? You get what I'm saying? So the ministry can actually be accurate, but out of tangent because it's prophetic. It's talking about tomorrow. Are you following what I'm saying here? Which is very important. And let me tell you, I mean, to me, and I think I'm right, I've been saying this for a long time, the number one CEO in the world is the CEO of Amazon. And I've been correct, because he's the richest man in the world now. He said, anything you are doing, he said, in my company, you say we start doing something? It's what we did 2 years ago that we're showing up now. It's too late to change. What he said, when we do something, we are doing it for years ahead. All right? Okay? So even in the dealings there, all right, God, when God wants to come to you, he's not just talking about that day. He's looking at your entire life. He's looking at, and there's no way you can conceive that. And the way in which he does this, that when you spend time, because he says you are communicating mysteries unto God. Now, next week I'll talk about prayer. The Bible says we should pray in tongues and then pray what is called interpretation of tongues. And interpretation of tongues does not necessarily mean the translation of tongues, but the interpretation of tongues. So that what you have prayed that you don't understand, right? there's a way in which the Holy Ghost over a period of time communicates it to you. And what happens is you find yourself strongly going in certain directions where with all certainty you know that you are right on this, even though on the outside, all right, it doesn't seem so. Deep down on the inside of yourself, you know this is the right thing to do. There is the peace of God because you've broken into the future and God can begin to lead and guide you, all right, concerning those areas. So next week we'll continue talking about the development of the human spirit. But just as I start out here, right, take some time every week there, if it's twice a week, that I'm just going to spend time just fellowshiping with the Holy Spirit here. I wake up in the morning, I worship him, and I just spend time praying in tongues. Look, there's somebody today, that I won't mention her name and the ministry, all right? But she's CEO of one of the largest ministries, if we call three ministries in this country today. She used to be in our fellowship. One day, she was leading worship, and she went into Psalms Hymns. It was spontaneous worship. And our spiritual leader, somebody got back to the room, and he said, how did she do that? He said, that can only come, he said that didn't come by meditation. He said, that's not meditation. He said, that's deep interaction with God in worship. That's where you can only get those kind of inspired thoughts from. All right? Now, today, she's leading one of the major ministries in this country. Well, major. All right? Okay? But it all came out of things like that in terms of you spending time there, breaking into the realm of the Spirit and dealing with things in some cases. All right, days ahead, weeks ahead, years ahead, and you're able to receive supernatural information from God, which is what the Christian life, all right, really is about, that supernatural life that God has ordained.
Thank you for listening.